On this episode, we welcome senior product designer and co-founder of Front Utah, Ben Peck.
Going into the deets on Front Utah.
And ham sandwiches.
Thunder! 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 Thunder!
Welcome to Thunder Nerds, where we always remember the Alamo and the good work of John Michael Osborne that was happened there one year. My name's J.D. Riot.
I'm Eric Shin.
And I am Frederick Philip Von Weiss. And you are listening to the Thunder Nerds, a design and developer discussion for all levels of people in the industry that simply love what they do and do web good. How's everybody doing today?
Did you get the reference?
I didn't get the reference. Explain it.
Okay, John Michael Osborne is actually the name, the given surname of Ozzy Osborne.
Ah, well done, sir.
There you go. It was. I stumbled through it, but the intention was there.
Well, no more tears. No more tears. Hey, today, everybody, we have a special guest. Today, we have a husband and father of four, senior product designer at Needleit, and co-founder of Front End, or Front Utah, and I'm sure he'll correct me on this in a minute, a two-day in-depth conference for user experience designers and product managers, Mr. Ben Peck. How you doing, sir?
Good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Oh, thanks for coming.
A pleasure.
Yeah. Ben, did I say all that correct? Any corrections there?
Yeah, well, Needle, I mean, their Twitter handle is Needleit, but it just goes by Needle. And
goes by Needle, all right.
Yeah, and the conference is just Front Conference. It's in Utah, and we're proud of Utah, and it's actually part of the name of the conference. It has a little bit of a meaning to it, Front does, as part of Utah. But so, yeah, so it's Front Conference, yep.
Nice. All right. We'll definitely go into that. But why don't we first get a little bit of context on you, Ben, if you don't mind, sir. Can you go into exactly a little bit of who you are and what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a product designer right now. That's my current title. I don't know. How far back do you want me to go as far as, like, who I am, where I came from, what I do, not when I was
say
a child.
2-year-old drawing crayons? No? Oh, okay. I was going there. A little bit about, like, I think maybe some people don't know exactly what the term a product designer is and or what a product designer does. You know, I think in the industry people know what a designer is or a graphic designer or a front-end designer or interactive designer, but maybe not everybody comes across product design and what that means exactly. So maybe you can tell us how you got into product design and what exactly that is.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I actually wrote a post about this on my blog. I write on Medium, and a couple years ago I had this same just thought. Let me start with, I graduated from Brigham Young University here in Utah, and I got a Bachelor of Arts with an emphasis in graphic design. And when I was going through the program, it was heavily focused on print design. So they were doing logo designs, they were doing magazine spreads, they were doing posters, all sorts of different graphic design related things. And a lot of the people from that program go on to work for magazines, they go on to work for branding agencies and whatnot. That's kind of where I set my eyes on and what I wanted to do. And I remember still my father-in-law saying, "Well, why don't you go into web design?" At the time, I was like, "I'm too cool for web design. Web design is not, it's not even like a thing. Designers, you don't get respect if you go into web design. And this was in like 2006. So, and lo and behold, I ended up my first job getting a job in web design. So it was hilarious. So I mean, I was hired by a company called Datamark. They do direct marketing, basically direct mail, and then they also have they also had landing pages and emails that they did for career colleges. And they hired me for my design skills, but the first day, even in the interview, they said, okay, we want to hire you, but we're going to teach you how to code. How do you feel about that? And at the time, I mean, I was a bit of a computer geek. I'm in my family. I'm the go-to guy for all computer problems. My parents don't know anything about computers, and even my siblings as well. But so I wasn't concerned about that at all. And I was actually, it was really interesting. So early on in my career, I started out being very much what some people call a hybrid person. So a designer and a developer. I found myself quickly kind of realizing that that was a good space for me to be in. I picked up front-end coding. I mean, at Datamark, the art director came over like the second day and just on a piece of paper said, here's the HTML structure. And he wrote it out on a piece of paper, pen and paper, and said, okay, you're going to design this email, and then you're going to code it. And then I'm going to come back and just kind of check you on the coding. And just went from there. So,
and this was, you said 2006?
Yeah, this was 2006.
Okay, so before the iPhone, before the need for responsive email.
Yeah. So I was doing table designs. I mean, people are still doing table designs in email, but
yeah.
This was before CSS was like a really big thing. So for the landing pages, I was still designing in tables at first, and then about 6 months into my job, like CSS started becoming a little bit, getting more chatter. So we started playing around with doing just divs and just using CSS to structure the page. This was before any sort of frameworks were out there. That's kind of where I started, and then kind of after that, I went and worked for a design studio. They liked that I could code. They had a creative director that did all the print design and branding, and they wanted me to kind of own all of the web design work that they were doing. I was the fourth employee for them, called Red Olive Design Studio here in Utah, and we worked on projects like Little Giant Ladders, a lot of local companies. I did the Utah Symphony and Opera websites, did a lot of construction websites, various projects for them. I worked for them for 2.5 years or so. And then I jumped from agency to agency. I went off on my own for a little while, for about 8 months, and tried to do my own design studio, and that failed. I couldn't figure out the business side of running a business as well as I thought. Well, I worked for a couple studios. I can just do this by myself, and that didn't work out so well. That was a good learning experience.
Yeah, business side of stuff can be pretty tough. I mean, you know, a lot of people, myself included, have gotten a few things together, and they're like, "Oh man, I can totally do this." And then they read a few blogs and find out about accounting and think, "Oh, I can do this myself." And And then on top of that, getting the clients, I mean, it takes a really good mix, and it's really worth, you know, finding, I mean, I've heard so many times, and I totally believe in this, is find somebody who's better than you at doing that, and then just have them do that. Just delegate it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, and in mentioning, I heard you mention that that you're a hybrid designer and developer, and that was like, I mean, back in the day, that was like, you know, the sort of golden unicorn, I guess you could say. And nowadays, it's sort of like a lot of people are saying that, you know, a designer developer kind of doesn't, you know, it's a jack of all trades, ace of nothing. And I was wondering, do you kind of get that sentiment as well? It's like, nowadays it's like a lot of people are selling themselves as, full stack developers and designers, and they actually are kind of like jack of all trades, ace of nothing. And that it actually kind of puts a bit of skepticism, when you actually say that, or when I say that. Yeah, I mean, there's
instant doubt. No, I totally get that. I mean, that was the post. I mentioned earlier that I'd written a post, and that was what the post was all about. Like, for a really long time, I was kind of embarrassed about the... Not embarrassed, but I didn't proclaim that I could do a lot of different things, because it made it sound like, well, you're not really good at one thing, so you kind of have to do multiple things. And I even quoted that thing of jack of all trades, master of none kind of mentality. And even today, I mean, the whole post was, well, what's my job title? I mean, the job title in the industry has changed so much. Like, I went through all the job titles I had: web designer, interactive designer, art director, user interface designer, user experience designer. All of those, have been my title. I'm like, well, why does my title change so much? And but I wrote the
paycheck.
Yeah,
paycheck is generally the reason why.
No, exactly.
It's like I'm like, is this the Megazord? Oh, it's the Megazord, but it's the black and gold Megazord, so it's worth more money.
That's right. Yeah, I think like titles don't usually mean anything, and so many people talk about like, oh, I'm at this, oh, I'm at that, but then you always end up doing a hybrid of a designer or a programmer or whatnot. I mean, I think we wear a lot of many hats, and it's depends on, you know, what company you work for and what you like to do. But I think ultimately, if you just do what you love to do, then you're gonna love doing it, right, by definition. But Ben, what exactly do you do as a product designer? That I want to know that. Like, what's your day to day as a product designer?
Yeah. Okay. So,
like, what products do you design? What's that about?
Yeah. So the first 5 years of my history is kind of in the agency world, and then the last half is I worked for a company called Experticity, and that's when I actually I was hired on as a UI developer, worked for a UI developer for a couple years, and then I became their UX designer. And that was when I shifted from being under the CTO to when we got a VP of product. So when they actually created a product team, I became a UX designer. And to me, honestly, right now people don't really know the difference between a UX designer and a product designer. I think companies like Facebook and Google and the big tech companies in Silicon Valley are changing all their titles to be product designer. It's just kind of the new trendy thing. But as a product designer, you're doing more than just you're doing more than just visual design. So there's interaction designers, there's graphic visual designers, there's motion designers, there's user researchers, there's data analysts, there's prototypers, business strategists. A product designer does and understands all of that, essentially. They, like, a good product designer knows a bit of animation, prototyping, coding, research, visual, and interaction design. And they're there to not just make things pretty. They're there to help make good business decisions based off of users, based off of business requirements, based off of actual data and design testing. So I actually do all of those things. So as a UX designer, a product designer, I call them my eight eyes of product design. But I research, I sitemap, I sketch, I do wireframing, I do visual design, I prototype, I user test, and I'm starting to do less development because now there's like more specialized developers that are just doing front end development or JavaScript developers with all these frameworks React Native.
That they're just gonna call this in 3 to 5 years what that position's literally gonna be called is like a producer, because it sounds like what a movie producer is. You kind of know every little bit of the industry. You've got your hand in every pie, so it's like you can. It's what I did when I was a sales director. It's like you can speak the language of every person who's talking in the room, and you're basically that funnel, that sieve that takes in all the information, puts a direction to it, and then feeds that direction out to the people who actually need it. I think it's just eventually just going to be called a producer. It makes the most sense to me.
Well, yeah, producer, UX director, product designer. It's kind of again, I don't know about titles, but go ahead, Ben. I'm sorry to interrupt you. You were saying?
No, I just there's a fine balance between product manager and a product designer, and I think that that's where the industry's really trying to figure out what the role of a product manager is versus a product designer. A product designer still does. They're still a doer, a director, or those. They understand everything, but they don't. They end up managing people. A product designer themselves is actually doing work, and they're part of a cohesive team. So, and we talked about this a lot at last year's front, and we specifically picked people that were working for companies and building teams around that model of having a team of a product designer, a product manager, a front-end developer, multiple back-end developers working on a specific piece of a product, and they go through that process of researching, and it could be very small. So, like, say I'm designing the profile page of an application. I go through the research. I go through mapping out all the pieces of how that section works. I do rapid sketching of how that might lay out, wireframing. I do visual designs. I whip up an Envision prototype, show it to users, and then I just continually go through that same loop with each product, each revision. There's also a thing called a design sprint and a 5-day design sprint, and that's kind of becoming very similar. It doesn't necessarily have to be 5 days, but you go through sprints, essentially, in development world. You can do the same thing as a design in the design track as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, if you have that story and you're doing different sprints depending on your method of agile development. I think, too, to go into what you were saying, too, I think it also, if I may append to your point and add to it, it depends on what the industry needs at some places. I mean, depending if you're at a small to medium sized business, you're at enterprise location, what is the marketing department's needs? I've worked at places where, the senior copywriter is building web pages out, or, where the marketing intern is doing videography. And I think you get like a mishmash of people's roles, people's titles, and also depending on the needs, but then also to organically going into a direction. Like you were talking about point to what you said about front-end developers. Like, that's now going into a very specific kind of set of skills, where maybe back in like 2004 or 2006, when we were talking about like a front-end designer was that unicorn, right? They were somebody that could design but also develop and build a website. But now, like, a front-end developer is somebody that's more knows, like, you know, they're working with Node Package Manager, they're working with React, they're building out these things. So it's, you know, they're more maybe somebody that's doing some of the DOM work. But also, too, maybe it's somebody that's also in a flavor of UX kind of role that's building out stuff, too. But I guess it's a little bit of what the industry is demanding in certain companies. But I mean, you know, specifically what you do, like, I think it's up to us in the community to express what those needs of those businesses are or the clients, and communicate what the roles are that need to be allocated for those specific tasks. You know, like you said, I think we chatted a little bit prior to the podcast, and we were saying, I think in your message, if I recall correctly, that people think a product designer is somebody, and maybe I read this on your LinkedIn, but a product designer is somebody that designs, people think it's somebody that designs like a Fitbit or a fan, but they don't really get the nuances and actual reality of what that is. So, yeah, I'm very excited that you explained that and kind of brought a little bit more light to what that actually is.
Those are the guys who put the stuff together at IKEA, right?
Yeah, right.
I don't care if you call me a damn ham sandwich. If you're paying me $90,000 a year, you can call me whatever you want to call me. Like, I do not even care. I will answer to a myriad of different names.
Plus, ham sandwiches are delicious. So
depends on the condiments.
Yeah, I think the problem.
Go there,
Ben. Retort. What do you think of ham sandwiches?
Yeah, it's all about the sauce.
Pretend that your wife made this ham sandwich, and then respond.
And the last sandwiches are delicious.
Delicious. They're the best.
Delicious. The inflection of fear that was underlining that delicious was perfect. Like, she's in the room, dude. Shut up.
I love them. Shh.
I love them. Shut up.
So good.
Ben, I think one of the big things that we'd love to talk to you about is the conference. You are a co-founder of this conference. Could you give us like all the wonderful juicy details about the conference and how you became the co-founder of it and what you'd like to tell people about it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so we just started the conference last year. The conference came out of actually multiple years of running a group called the Product Design Association. It all started by, it was started, the that group was started by a guy named, one of the other co-founders, his name's Andy Branch. Him and another guy, Wade Shearer, were running this group, and at the time, I had just barely started at Experticity. I started this new world of UX design, and the group, the AIGA, groups that existed that I knew about at the time were the AIGA, the Ad Federation, and those were very focused on design agencies and studios and graphic design, and I was looking for one that was more surrounding software design, and I came across this group that they had done it. It was just a chapter of the IXDA at the time, and I kind of volunteered and said, hey, they were doing a bunch of events too far away from where I worked, and I volunteered and said, hey, I'd like to do some events closer to where I work. I'd even host them at our office and whatnot, and so got involved in kind of organizing some events with them. And then just we started getting people to come interview with us and tell us about case studies that they were working on. And the group grew pretty fast in the past 4 years, 3 or 4 years. We're now at, they got up to, we have over 1,500 people in the group here in Utah. And we thought to ourselves, well, Andy and Wade had been toying around with the idea of doing a conference for a couple years. And last year we just said, let's do it. We decided in January, February, and said, okay, we're going to do it. We're going to do it in June of this year. So we spent 2 months putting together a website and getting people to come speak. And that's kind of how it all came about. We just really wanted to have, we were sick of trying to convince our bosses to let us spend $3,500 to go to a conference and justifying the costs. And we said, let's just do one here in Utah and bring people here. So we decided to do it ourselves. That's kind of how it came about. Personally, the year before that, I went to a conference called Brooklyn Beta, and it was their last year out in New York. And it was a different kind of conference for me. They didn't announce the speakers. They didn't, you didn't know how many people were going. You just knew that, you just kind of put your trust in the people that did it. And you kind of heard about it through chatter, through Twitter, and people talking about it. And there was 600 people there. And I went to that one. I went to a party one night, and I was talking with a guy, and I didn't. There was kind of like an exclusive part of the conference where only like 150 people got personally invited to it, and then there was, which was kind of a 1 day deal, and then they had a bigger deal where there was like 600 people that came to it. And I got into the 600 day, and I kept begging to get into the other day, but they just wouldn't let me in. So I said, well, I'll come down early, and I'll volunteer to kind of help set up for the big day event. So I spent the day that they were doing their kind of invite-only conference day, and we kind of got the everything set up a little early, and so they invited us to go listen to the last talk at the exclusive comp day. And the guy that I'd met at the party the night before, they had kind of like this little town hall thing where they invited people up. And he invited me to come up and talk. And it was kind of an eye-opening to like being able to share stuff with people in the community, and it really drove me to want to do my own conference the next year. And our conference is very focused on product design and UX design, because like we were talking about earlier, people don't understand it. And they don't understand the difference between UX and product management and development. And all these groups are very siloed. Development have their own development conferences, and product managers have their own product business conferences or product management conferences. And there's a bunch of UX specific conferences. We wanted to build a conference that brought the teams together to kind of talk about the difficulties working together, processes, understanding what the industry is as it evolves. So that's kind of where it's centralized. And if you look at the website, you'll see that we've got 8 designers speaking. We've got 6 product managers speaking, and we've got a mix of research, development, and leadership also speaking. So that's kind of the idea around it.
Yeah, you have this is a 2-day event, right?
Correct. Yes.
You have a lot of people speaking at this two-day event. I think, like, having all this kind of you have all this talent. It's and within this 2 days, I mean, there's no way you could walk away from something like this and not pick up a ton of good one, connections, two, friends, three, so much education that you're going to get from this, you know, just 2 days, this amount of time with all these people and the quality of your guests. Like, it's in a pretty chock full of knowledge event.
Yeah, we have some really exciting people. Like Cap Watkins, this is the VP of Design for BuzzFeed, was with Etsy for a long time, kind of built the Etsy team, helped kind of build the Etsy team. We've got a design lead from Airbnb. We have a panel from Pluralsight, which is a dev platform, learning, development and business and design. We've got researchers. We've got Bob Baxley, who's worked for 10 years for Apple on their e-commerce store and was the head of design for Pinterest. We've got a lot of great people. I mean, we've got a panel from Full Story, which is a great product for UX designers and researchers. We've got a lot of local great talent too. Some product managers from Pluralsight and Experticity. And we've got a couple amazing product manager, and we've got a interesting, a very unique talk of a product manager and a UX designer from Asana that we'll be presenting together. Which is really what we're going for is how do we work better as teams? And yes, definitely we're about getting to know each other and talking through the challenges that we're dealing with, in the industry. We weren't sure how many people we were going to get last year. We were like, well, what if we only get 100 people or 50 people only want to come? But overwhelmingly, people wanted to come to this, and we got 350 people, and it's just been a great experience so far, and we're really excited about next year, or this year. It's coming up in May. It's coming up fast, so.
What's the dates? It's May what?
May 12th and 13th.
And we'll obviously have all this within the show notes as well. I just want to say it while people are listening. And also to say, too, that it is the URL is Front Utah. And if you are dyslexic or just can't spell, that's FrontUtah.com. And again, we'll have that within the show notes. But just so people could hear that.
So cons are kind of like my thing. I go to them. I know people who throw extremely successful ones, both in the anime and comic world, and so at that down here in Florida and some out in California and whatnot. So, would you say this is more of a gathering, or would you say this is more of a con? You know what I mean, like a straight up conference.
I mean, then.
I like to think of it as a mixture of both. It's more of a conference. Mm-hmm. There's speakers that will speak back to back, and then we'll have lunch. So we're going to have it in what's called the Depot. It's actually, it's not called the Depot exactly. It's called the Union Pacific Railroad. It's an old building that used to be the Railroad Center.
I think I bought that once in Monopoly.
Yeah.
I used a thimble.
Yes.
It's really cool because we've got a really big open area where they where we'll have lunch and we'll have games. I think one of our sponsors is going to do scooter races. Like electric scooter races, we've got, and then all of the speakers are going to be speaking in a big, basically, it's a music hall for bands and artists, and so it's going to be very intimate and very close-knit, and we're going to have, it's going to be a floodgate of information, and then just chatting with people that are in the same, are going through the same stuff as us, trying to understand what product design is. Well, what tools are you using? Sure. How do you go through prototyping fast enough to then get designs out that people, that your company is happy with, but is also quick? Different levels of companies, sure. Startups to, like, I've worked for companies that were 3-4 people design studio to 200 people to 800 people, and the teams are different. I've worked with 15 designers in one company internally, and I've worked with as a one designer outside of a company working with a company that doesn't have any designers. So there's challenges all over the place, and I mean that's what it's for. It's not like a
sure thing.
It's not like a gaming con, I don't think. It's more of a conference and a gathering.
Yeah, it's more of a conference, one room, town hall style. I mean, that sounds like it. I mean, there's definitely a lot of great information in there. And if I give you this idea and you use it, I expect royalties. But let's say that I'm not kidding. Let's say that we get the let's say I'm interested in this in this conference, but you know what? I don't have the ducats to get my buns out to Utah and fight my way through a copious amount of Mormons to get to what would be the beautiful conference that you're about to throw. Well, do you guys have any way, you know, I mean, and if you don't, you should, a digital way, you should have a digital way for people to actually stream this via Periscope, via Twitch, via something where they can actually pay, you know, the same money I'd say that anyone else would pay to watch these conferences, but, you know, then you cut the cost of travel, you cut the cost of, you know, you cut the cost of hotel stay. Some of these people are, you know, I mean, we're designers or developers or, you know, project managers, as you say, but, you know, that pays differently depending upon what the person decides that's worth, you know. Do you guys have any way for somebody who can't necessarily travel to that to view that for, you know, some ducats?
This was a big point of discussion last year. Are we going to record these? Are we not going to record them? Do we do a live stream?
Broadcast them live.
There's a lot of logistics that goes into all of that.
Patreon.com. It's a good one for you guys to take a look at. There, you can actually post and stream through there. The Periscope obviously is huge. But yeah, I would assume there are logistics that go in with that. But I mean, it may even be a value point that you can add to your speakers. Like, hey, you know, depending upon if we hit this flex goal or hit this, you know, we could, you know, there could be more in it for you. But who knows? You know, it's something to, it sounds like that you guys may have considered. I'd like to think that if it happens, that I spurred it on and inspired it, you know.
So for this year, we've.
Well, I've never actually done.
It's not hard to do. There are cameras now that will actually just upload via Wi-Fi and will stream via Wi-Fi like immediately. I mean, you can plug them into. I mean, it's really not hard. It's so simple now. I mean, if you would have dialed back maybe 10 years ago, where you needed the Canon, like, you know, $25,000-$40,000 cameras, you can do it now with nothing. It's a lot easier. It's just quality wise, you're looking somewhere around about an $1,800 to $2,000 camera. But that's about it.
Yeah, so, well, this year we're going to record them and we'll post them after the event. We've tried really hard to keep the costs down. So, I mean, the main event is only, like, the whole conference itself is only $400. And, I mean, there's some conferences that cost upwards of $2,500 just the conference itself, okay, on top of travel, on top of hotel stays. And I mean, we're very much, it all started with very much to kind of create something for the local community, but we're quickly seeing that a lot of interest for people outside of the community, especially since it's a conference about product design and product management, that we're doing something very different than most conferences are. So we're seeing a lot of interest. We have a good mix of people coming from all over the nation much more than we got last year. We got about 15% of people from out of state last year, and we're looking to have more, a lot more this year. From the ones that, the hundreds that have already signed up, we're seeing a good mix of, we're still seeing the majority of people from Utah, but yeah, I totally get that though.
Yeah, but still, I mean, the lineup looks awesome. I mean, you've got like eight designers, what is it, six product design or product managers, seven research, development, and leaderships. I mean, you've got people coming in from BuzzFeed, Pluralsight, Airbnb, Capital One, Domo, Pinterest, Asana, Full Story. I mean, this is awesome. I would totally want to go to this. I do want to go to this.
Would you want to stream it? Would you watch it live if it was streaming?
Oh, absolutely.
Would you pay some money for it
if it was
streaming?
Yeah, I would.
That's at least 120 a day, would you say, over a 2-day period? So that's pretty fair, huh?
I believe there's value in both things, and you get, like, if you're there live, you definitely get to be in the experience, and you're going to get, you know, not only the value of watching the people speak, and not only the value of the experience within itself, but the journey and interactions and the camaraderie. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but too many ham sandwiches. But the thank you. But also the people that you meet, like having those connections that you make, that, you know, could be something where, you know, I met so-and-so at this conference, and then that goes together, and oh my God, you could definitely have something that, I don't know, gets you to maybe your next position, or maybe something that, you know, two people meet and that you find something that you never thought about using, like, oh, that's a great idea, I'm going to add that to my workflow process, or, oh, you know, I never thought about that Node Packet Manager component before. That's very interesting. Tell me more about post-processing in CSS. There's a lot of different things that come into play there, but also there's definitely value in just being able to have it to where you could stream and watch it and watch it on your own when you want to watch it, meaning if you can't get there in some way. Even if you had, like, you know, maybe in the future you had drones that you could rent out for $2,000 a day that you could not only watch it, but be a part of it and interact, like that episode in Portlandia. But
oh God, yeah.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, I think that as human beings, though, we're strongly driven to get together in person as well. Not to say that it's not, it's bad. I mean, it's a good thing to provide a virtual solution to, for those people that can't either afford it or can't make the trip, or they've got something else at the time. But the experience of being there with hundreds of people, learning it all together, is something that you can't replace virtually or create.
Definitely not. There's so much value in that. It's such an amazing experience that, I mean, just the virtual thing is one thing, and that's fine and that's great, but it's nothing like being there and being able to experience all those people. You're 100% right, Ben.
It's making a lot of new friends and I mean, we've bumped into conferences together, not even planning it. So.
Oh yeah, good point, Eric. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think the conferences that I've been to, I've gotten more out of the relationships I've built with the going to those conferences than the information. I mean, not to devalue the information that you get, but it's. You can get that information or videos in so many more ways these days. I mean, just think of Pluralsight, lynda.com, all sorts of different places to get information to improve your career. But to do that and also have a conversation about a real-world problem that you're having that other people are also having, that then you can continue having a conversation about that at, even after the conference, because you created a connection in person at the conference, where instead of cold emailing somebody out of the blue saying, hey, I have this issue. Do you guys have that problem as well? I mean, that we learned that pretty quickly through this product design association that we created, that people just wanted to get together and talk about the challenges.
Oh yeah. I mean, even in sprints,
and it's great.
Yeah, it sounds like it does. It definitely sounds like you're going to basically be able to make a lot of friends. And I think everybody here has also, what that means to anybody in the industry is when you make friends in the industry, you're basically getting job opportunities in the industry. So
if you've got that
ability, I mean, you're basically making it's like live LinkedIn. But we just want to thank you for coming out, Ben. And the website is www.frontutah.com if you guys want to check that out and go see that live. If not, it sounds like there's going to be something up on the old interwebs, you know, maybe a little taste, you know, to get you guys to you know, shell out the ducats to drive up there and watch it. But like I said, Ben, we want to thank you for coming on the show, man. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, I really appreciate you guys inviting me to come on. It's my pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much, Ben. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.